And we're going to go ahead and start out with a word of prayer this morning for the lesson. Brother Mike Freimeyer, could you please stand up and lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you so much. We talked last week a little bit about this, and I think we may be able to finish it today. We'll see what happens. But we started talking about giving. We haven't gotten to the tithing part yet, but we have started talking about the giving and about the attitude of giving and about the attitude of the Old Testament churches. The law said that they were to give 10%, and that was a requirement. That wasn't a if you can. That was a you are required. I believe you're still required to do that today, but I believe it's even more than that. Okay, I believe you also have tithes and offerings, too, that we are required to give. The Lord doesn't say how much, but the Lord does give us a couple of parameters on how to give that and to figure out how much it would be. If you look in your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, and we're just going to look at a couple of these verses. Let's start at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In this day and age, we live with a mindset on what we do not have. More than two people can say amen to that. We live in a place where we focus more on what we do not have than what we do have. We focus more on what somebody else has already in their possession than what we have in ours. We say, man, I would love to give to the church, but I don't have as much as Carl McDaniel has. That's why he gives so much, because Brother Carl has more than I do. And if I had that much, I'd give it. You know, we're sad people because, honestly, the Lord has given us an abundance. Every single person here, well, we're poor. I dare you to go over to Cambodia with this brother and talk about poor. Just for 5 minutes, you'd walk down the street and say, man, I've got it good back at home. And I'm not, listen, the first second the preacher gets up here and starts talking about money, you hold onto your wallet and say, man, that preacher's talking about money again. Understand this, I could care less if you gave anything. Honestly, I don't care. What you give is between you and God. Did you know that? It has nothing to do with the preacher. It has nothing to do with the guys that stand up here in the pulpit. Understand this, God wants this to be preached. But he wants this to be preached to your heart individually, so you'll know individually that look at everything that the Lord has given me. I want you to read these scriptures. Look at these scriptures. Verse 12 says, for if there be a willing mind, are you willing to even hear what the Lord has to tell you this morning? Are you willing to even hear what the Lord has in his scriptures just for you today? Are you willing to hear it? If you're willing to hear it, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The scriptures talk about a lady. And this lady brought to the church and offered that of what she had. And by the way, New Testament giving, we talked about this last week, I've heard over and over and over a million times, and I'm probably hearing a million times again, that tithing is in the Old Testament, not in the New. Well, I showed you last week, that's good preaching. Let's do New Testament giving. Because in the New Testament, they sold everything they had and gave everything to the church. So let's not go there, okay? Let's just stick with what the Lord has taught. And the Lord said, do you have a willing mind? I'm not telling you to go off and sell your homes. I'm not telling you to go off and sell your cars. Although most of us are so in debt, it really doesn't matter. You wouldn't get anything anyways. You'd walk out of that deal with about a dollar in your pocket. But understand this. Christ wants to teach you through giving where you're at spiritually. And you know, your giving could be a good spiritual barometer for you personally. Are you willing to give anything? Now, I'm not talking about tithing here because tithing isn't giving. Tithing is a requirement. Tithing is what the Lord has taught you, you must do. And I'll talk about, we'll get to see a couple of verses of this later. The giving is above and beyond that tithe. And what's sad is we focus more in this day and age on what somebody else has. And because somebody else has that, I can't give what I have. The scripture is teaching you here, if you have first a willing mind, is it accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Amen. By and large, I've been told by many a preacher that the poorest folks in their church are their biggest givers. Isn't that insane? The poorest folks in the church usually bring in the most money. Why? Because they've got a willing mind and they've got an open heart. And a spiritual barometer says, listen, you can take this for what it's worth. Obviously, they're a little closer to the Lord, because the closer to the Lord you get, the more you're wanting to give to him. Not to this church. Please don't misread me. You think, well, when this money comes in, the preacher and Brother Dave go off and spend it frivolously. On what? What do we have? It's not like we're rolling around in Cadillacs. What we're doing is supporting missionaries like Brother Landingen. We're supporting 105 more of those folks downstairs. All the money that comes into this church goes out just as fast as it comes in. Yes, we're trying to build a great work. Why? So we can bring more money in to put more missionaries out there, to do more things, start more churches, do all these things for the glory of God. But here's what the funny thing is. When you give your money, you shouldn't worry about what it's being done with it. That's opening your eyes a little bit. I love all these people. Well, I'm going to designate. I want this to go to a green chair in the middle of the auditorium. I want to make sure this money goes right to this place. Or I want to make sure this money goes right to this place. There's nothing wrong with designating. I'm going to give this to missions. I'm going to give this over here. I'm going to give this over here for you. But it's amazing how we say, God, I'm so thankful you gave me everything I have. And when I give it to you back, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do with it. The Lord's going to tell you what you're going to do with it. He's not going to give it back to you. See, what's amazing is we have this philosophy as Christians that we know better. Better than who? Do you honestly know better than God? Honestly? Can we honestly sit here and say that, you know what, Lord, when I'm giving my money back, I'm going to tell you that it's going to be specifically for this. I wouldn't be surprised the Lord never gave you another thing. Because it says that we are to do this with a willing mind, an open heart, a cheerful giver. And we'll get into that verse in a second, but can I help you with this? I hear preachers all the time telling people, well, don't give unless you're happy about it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Amen. You're not going to be happy until you start giving. The Lord, well, let me tell you something. When I first started giving, I didn't like it. You can say what you want. A man does not part with his money rapidly. Unless he's in Vegas and he's a fool. I'm going to tell you right now, Baptist preachers all across America will tell you after a few years in their ministry, I'm a cheerful giver. But when they first start out giving, I guarantee it's not easy. It's something that you work hard for. This money that you put in your back pocket, and there's not that much of it anymore. Oh, the preacher's saying I want 10%. The preacher's saying this. No, the preacher didn't say he wanted 10. The Lord commanded 10. And what happens is it's hard to give right off the bat. And preachers will tell you, well, just get a number in your heart. Whatever's good, you give that. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible, you just start giving. Whether you like it or not, just start giving. Did you know eventually it'll start to make you happy? It may take 1 week. It may take 2 years. But why in the world? This is a question I often have for myself. And we talked about this when we got into prayer a little bit. Are you going to be excited to see the Lord and you didn't give? Are you going to be excited? And hey, I don't care. Hey, listen, again, I don't care what you give. I don't know who gives what in this church. I never want to know. But understand this. Are you going to be excited to see the Lord Jesus Christ and you still have that 20 in your pocket that you should have gave? Oh, you're just trying to pry that wall out of my pocket. Maybe. But understand this. The Lord desires obedience. Amen. And one of the greatest ways we can show obedience is by having your pocketbook open. And when that widow and her son kept making the food over and over and over again, the barrel didn't go and the cruise didn't go dry, It's amazing how, though, and I'm not a prosperity. Hey, let me tell you something. I've been giving for 15 years. It's not like prosperity has come down on the Ballard household. But I don't give because I get back. I give because the Lord gives everything we have. Why in the world would I want to keep back what he's already given me? And I don't want a curse to be on my house. Go to 9:7. You're right there anyhow. This is that verse that we were talking about. Verse 5, let's start there. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver. There it is, Brother Dave. There it is. He said, don't give until I'm happy. Is that what that says? It says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Does that say tithe? Does that say the 10%? No, the 10%'s already in. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. I have to because Brother Dave told me to. I have to because a preacher told me to. I don't care how you start giving. Honestly, I don't. But at the end, you'll give because the Lord asked you to. And because you want to. And because when you see people like Brother Landingen come in here and show you his ministry and your money, even if it was a dollar helping that ministry, helping the missionaries that we support, that money, you see those children, you have a part in that. You can't get any better than that. What an investment. I'll go put my money in the stock market. You'll lose it fast. I'm going to put my money somewhere else. Hey, you know what? Just give your money to God. Let that investment pay you dividends. Well, I'm not going to see him while I'm here on this earth. How do you know that? The people that give a lot, when's the last time you went to the doctor? I'm just asking you because I'm going to tell you something. The Lord gives you things back in ways that we don't understand. We think that, well, bless God, if the Lord's going to give me something back, if the Lord's going to pay back what I gave him, it's going to have to be in the form of cash. We are so sad. Well, bless God, if the Lord's going to bless me, where's my bag of money falling from the sky? Let me tell you something. You live in America. If you got no more blessing than that, you've been blessed more than you deserve. Yes, I love my country. That's right. Yes, I'm going to tell you right now. And yeah, you know what? We are a global society today, but I live in America, Jack, and that's the number one country in all the world. Where'd that come from? That's a free coupon right there. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Some of you have been saved for years and years and years, and you still grudgingly give. You still can't cheer up when you give your money. How many, and let's go beyond money. How many of you give of your time? We have men's work days. We have times that we had ladies come that, man, come on. For a man's breakfast, we had ladies cooking. And they ate. Thank God that those ladies gave of their time to come out for the men because we can't do anything for ourselves. At least not as good as they can. You don't want preacher cooking your eggs, I'll tell you that right now. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And the reason that you read that verse that we just read, having a willing mind, your mind today is so wrapped up in webs of other things. The Bible talks about a fellow being busy here and there, and he lost his focus on exactly what he was supposed to do. You know, the Lord puts us down here for a reason. And in all honesty, if we could focus more on what God would have us to do, this probably wouldn't need to be preached that much. Because people would know that, man, we don't keep the lights on here unless you tithe. We don't keep this ministry going unless you tithe. And you say, well, the Lord can keep it going no matter what. The Lord will bring in more tithers if you won't. I mean, that's what it is. It still works with the tithe no matter what. That's how it still happens. And no matter how crazy we get about it. Well, Brother David, I didn't give mine last week. The lights are still on. Well, hopefully the lights will be on at your house when you get home too.
That's right.
See, we live in a time. We live in a time, and I want you to see this on page 3 if you have your notes. I like this. Giving in areas of other than money, it is as an important attribute of a saved soul. We need to cultivate a give-it-all spirit. I like this next thing. In an age which requires us to keep it all for ourselves. Let me read that one more time. Giving in areas other than money, and money too, by the way, is an important attribute of a saved soul. Are you saved in here today?
Amen.
That was the weakest amen to saved people I've ever heard. We need to cultivate a give-it-all spirit in yourself. In yourself. In yourself. A give-it-all spirit in yourself. In an age which requires us to keep it all for ourselves. We live in a day where you're supposed to keep it all to yourself. Everything is retirement. Everything is 401k. Everything is soak everything into your house. And there's nothing wrong with those things unless you get your focus off the living God which saved your dirty, rotten carcass and realize that you've got to help the ministry a little bit.
Yeah,
that's right. See, we keep it all and He gives it all. The Lord gives it all. And we keep it all. There's something wrong with that. The preacher taught you, I'm telling you, that he's used this illustration no less than a billion times. Where the money comes in, if you keep it here, the money's going to stop. You can say what you want to say. But if you bring it in and pass out, there's no way this church brings in as much money as it does. No way. No way. I've gone to churches that are 3 times this size that don't have near the offerings that we have. Because the money comes in and we throw it right out. The money comes in and we put it right out. The money comes in and we put it right out. This is always ready to receive. It's not clogged up with holding on to whatever comes in. I thank God that we don't keep it all for ourselves. It is a cliche, but a truth nonetheless, that we should freely give of our time, treasures, and talents. Now listen, you can look through those in a time. There's a hall of fame of those faithful souls who gave up more than money, in order to please God with their life. You can go through those if you want to. Those are very, very good. Although I'm sure that none of us are willing to do those things when you read them. You'll say, well, bless God, that was Abraham. I'm not him. Bless God, that was Moses. I'm not Moses. Bless God, that's Gideon. Oh, in the world, Gideon, Hannah. I mean, let me tell you something right now. No, we're not these people, but you are you. And here's the difference between them and us. Let me explain something to you. Is God still powerful today?
Yes.
I don't think the Lord has lost any of his effectiveness in being Lord. He grows better with age. I don't believe that any of these people were anything more than sinners, saved by grace. Well, Brother Coolidge, if you're a sinner saved by grace and you've got a Lord that's still powerful and the Lord did everything through these men's lives, the men didn't do anything of themselves, brother. The Lord did this work. The difference between them and us. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Brother, you just compared yourself to Moses. I just compared myself to a sinner. And all you've got to do is have an open mind, a willing heart, because that's what Moses had. That's what Noah had. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life.
Amen.
But listen to this, America. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Man, that doesn't fit us. That doesn't fit us at all. We're number one. We're number one. We're number one. I agree. We are number one. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord, this is what the Lord wants you to see, and this really boils it down into a nutshell. All that you have is lent to you. That's what the Lord wants you to see. All that you have is being lent to you for a very specific purpose to say, Brian Stevens, the Lord has given you what you have on a lent to own, lease to own process. The question is, who are you going to give the ownership to? Are you going to give ownership to you, or are you going to give ownership to him? Now you may say, well, you know what, Brother Dave, you're just making this too hard. No, I'm making it the easiest, simplest thing it can possibly be. The Lord gave me everything I have. Why in the world would I want to give it back to him? Why? How do I pay my bills? You know what's amazing? And I've made this statement to a lot of folks, and a lot of folks don't get this. They add up their budget, and they start out the budget, and when they get to the end of the budget, they notice that 10% giving to God makes it so they can't pay their bills. You ever had that? You ever had that? It's amazing. Now, I'm not saying I've never been late on my bills. Please don't misread me. Most people, the older folks are never late on their bills. The young people are stupid, and they get themselves into a debt that they can't get out of, that kind of thing. But understand this. If you're not stupid and you live within your means, because we in America are stupid and don't, but if you are a smart steward with the money that God gives you and you give your 10%, the 10% will not take away from your bills. A matter of fact, if you don't give the 10%, your bills will be short. I don't know why that works out. I honestly don't know why that works out, but it does work out that way. You can't think of the 10% as yours. You've got to think of it as God's. You have to. You have to. That's how you have to live your life. If you don't, you'll see just in a couple minutes here, it's a curse. And hey, you can take it up with the author on why he wrote it. Now let's go. Let's move on here. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. The Baptist battle cry. Malachi chapter 3.
You're always talking about money. Preachers always talk about money.
We talk about money all the time because that's what we're always having to warn you about. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is Malachi 3:6. It's amazing that this comes right before the verses I'm going to read to you. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Glory to God. Look down at verse 8. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee, Lord? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse." And listen to me now. This is what the scripture says. If preachers don't preach on this, we're not warning you of the curse. And there is a curse that comes along with not giving to God. "Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be enough room to receive it." And automatically the preachers that are not the ones that follow God automatically go to, "Well, bless God, if you give to him, he'll give back to you 100-fold. That's why you give, because if you give, you get back. That's not why you give. You could give exactly what you're supposed to give, and the Lord could burn your house down tomorrow. And people come and say, "I told you if I start giving, I'd be out." Let me tell you something. The Lord blesses you in ways that you don't see. The Lord blesses your life in things that you don't even know. And we walk through this roads, and we walk through this time, and you don't even know. I mean, even if the Lord, let's say you start, I'm 30 seconds late for my job, and 30 seconds earlier there was a wreck on the expressway that you avoided because the Lord protected you. I'm going to tell you right now, it just happened to my wife and I just about a month ago. We were kind of late. We were going to see Austin's ball game. And we're going down 271. I'm not real familiar with that territory, so I got my little GPS out. Next thing you know, we've got a huge traffic jam. We got out of the house 5, maybe 10 minutes late. And right ahead of us was a wreck. I don't know if it claimed any lives or not, but 2 life flight helicopters had to come in and take care of it. And we never made it to Austin's game. Although we did make it to the driveway. And we got a phone call that said the game's over. That was nice. But let me tell you something. Why does it have to be checkbook money for the Lord to be blessing you? Everybody just took a breath a second ago. That was given to you. You can say what you want. There's a lot of folks that wish they had another breath to take. And what's amazing is we have a hard time giving away a little piece of paper. We have a hard time giving this little piece of paper away. Actually, not this little piece of paper so much. A lot of you give this one. The one, you have no problem. Just put that in there, yeah. If there's something else on it, we have a hard time with it. But you know what's funny? We have a hard time giving away a little piece of paper. But the Lord had no problem giving us his only begotten Son. Well, Brother Dave, you're just likening tithing to giving and giving of your Son. I mean, it's not the same thing. Well, the Lord didn't command you to give your Son. The Lord commanded you to give your tithe. If the Old Testament believers gave a tenth of their belongings under the weight of the Mosaic law, then how much more should we who live under New Testament grace in Jesus Christ be willing to give? It would seem that the tithe would be the very least that we could do, the beginning point of giving. The reality would seem to be that under the New Testament grace, we haven't really even begun to give a real offering until after we have first tithed. So after we plan our giving to our local church, it would look something like this. We would tithe on our gross income. Why in the world are you going to let this government steal a blessing from you? I love that. Well, where do I give? Do I give on my net or do I give on my gross? You're debating over $5? Let's say it's $100. What's amazing is, should I give God more or should I give God less? Ask yourself that question. Should I give it off the top or should I get off here? Why would you let the FICA or FUBA or whatever it is, who cares, those evil devils? Why in the world would you worry about that? What prospered you is how much you got right across the top line. That's how God prospered you. We live in a day and age where the government takes a lot of that from us. But don't take it from God. It's because of God you have a FICA. If you don't have anything on the top line, you don't have a FICA. It's scary because usually when it's quiet, I get met out in the parking lot. Tithe on our gross to begin with. This is money that belongs to the local church. I agree with that somewhat. This is where it should go. But it doesn't belong to the church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Please don't misread that. It's supposed to come into the church. I agree with that. It's supposed to come into the storehouse, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is not the storehouse's money. It is God's money. Amen. Don't make a mistake there. Amen. I don't believe he was trying to say that it belongs to the church. Bless God, you got to give it because Pastor Skyver says so. I believe we're supposed to give it because God says so, and this is God's house. You give it to God. Out of it are paid church operating costs. Listen to me now. How do the church lights stay on? Because of your tithes. Such as heating, lighting, salaries, benefits, and staff. You pay my wages. I'm not ashamed to say that. You support me. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm excited. Thank you. It's great. Don't stop giving. After that, we should then give an amount above the tithe, which God lays upon our heart, to the church for missions, building funds, and other church-directed projects. The tithe was never intended to be used for outside projects of the church, even missions. The tithe was not to be used for missions. The mission project is supposed to be used for missions. The faith promise mission is supposed to be used for missions. When you give something above and beyond and designate it for missions, that goes to missions. The tithe never goes to missions. You should not write on your envelope, I'm giving my tithe and everything, and put it in the missions box. You should not. You should not. That's not what it goes for. You're giving falsely. You should never, your designation should be this. Your tithe, your 10% goes in the tithe 10% box. The general offering, that box. First one on the left. That's the tithe. That's your tithe right there. Then you go down the line, you fill all those boxes in you want. Whatever the Lord's prospers you do, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give, I'm good with that. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give. Because there's time, let me tell you something. When I was working for my business, I was making good money. I gave a lot. I don't give as much as I used to give in the missions box anymore. Don't faint and panic and fall down dead walking out the door. But I don't give as much because the Lord hasn't prospered me with this much money. That's just the way it is. And that's okay. But I still give my 10% and I still do give. We should give an amount above the tithe which God lays upon our heart to the church for missions, building funds, and other church-directed projects. The tithe was never intended to be used for outside projects of the church. The tithe was never to be outside of your church either. Now, the reason I think that Brother Ball says to the local church is because he doesn't want you to give it to somebody else's local church. It's God's money, but this is where your minister is. This is where your ministry is, right here in Bethel Baptist Church. I love hearing people, I sent $65 to Benny Hinn. Why? He's just going to buy more hair gel with it. And by the way, when you get sick, are you going to call Benny Hanna to come and look at you? Yeah, it's quiet now, and I'm glad. When you get sick, are you going to call that lady with the eyelashes that are about 8 foot long and the platinum hair changes color every week? You're going to call her, the one that sits back there and speaks in tongues and claps her hands like she's having a good old time, when all they're doing is robbing every single person that comes in to make their stage a little bit more gold? When you get sick, you're going to be calling your preacher at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's going to come with a giving heart, loving you and taking care of you. How dare we take the money from God and give it to somebody else when this church is your life? We are nuts in America. Well, look at the work that Brother Osteen's doing. It's 80,000 people. It's 80,000 people to come and hear some silk-wearing panty. I can't even go. Not even called to be a preacher. And that's who the money's going to go to? The purpose-driven life. I wish he would purposely drive his car off of a cliff. That'd be a good life purpose for him. He fills up a football stadium of people that don't want to hear about their sin. I was told by Dr. Bob Gray Jr. he couldn't take it. He's just like me. This guy's comedy relief for preachers. I'm telling you, he is. He went to one of his services. Please don't joke. He went to one of his services. Do you realize that the offering plates that they pass around are buckets? They're buckets! He said the money he was holding in his hands, I guarantee it was the offering that they take in at Longview every week. In this bucket. That money is not going to save souls. That money is not going for the glory of God. That money is going so people hear that they don't sin and they don't have to worry about sin.
That's right.
He's made the statement in his church, you're not going to hear about sin here.
Yes.
We just love everybody that comes in. We just love you today. We want you to know that we love you. You're not going to hear about your sin here. In 80,000 people a week are going to go to heaven someday and face God, and God's going to say to them, depart from me, for I never knew you.
Right.
What's that got to do with money, Brother Dave? I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't hear about your sin, you're never going to hear about your Savior.
That's right.
Say what you want to say, because you got to come to the Lord repentant.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any sin, what are you repenting of?
Right.
Man, that's good preaching when you're talking about tithing. Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I think we're going to finish this today. I got about 3 minutes. James chapter 2, verse 14. I love this. I love this. I love James. James is a phenomenal book for the people who love to sit and warm a pew. I love this book. It's the works book. Works! What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say that he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Absolutely. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, hear me, Christian, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warned and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not. You see them, they need something. You see a person comes to you in need, and you say, I'm praying for you. I need $10. I'm praying for you. And you got $20 in your pocket. You dirty devil. And give them not those things which are needful to the body. I'm not saying I need a PlayStation. Oh, here, brother. Here's a PlayStation. You give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so faith. Listen to this now. Even so faith, if it hath not works, your faith is dead, being alone. Now understand this. A lot of people say if you don't have works, then you're not saved. That's not true. It didn't say that. What it said was, even so faith. If you have faith, it's alone if you don't do works. But you do have the faith. You have faith that you're going to heaven. You just won't do anything to get up off your pew and do anything about your faith. See, what happens is this. We get into a comfort zone in Christian churches today. We get in this comfort zone where we got our own spot in the church house. I could just about close my eyes and point to people. I've been up here enough where I could just about point to people. Honestly, I got Fred probably about three quarters of the way back on this side, right on the aisle. I got Tom and Annie sitting right here. I've got the Freimeyers, they're brand new, but they sit about halfway back right on the aisle right there. Wayne and then they come right here every time. Wayne's right there. I'm not a detective. I don't have a photographic memory. That's where you sit every week. You have no problem coming to sit in the church. We're going to soak in all the great message. We're going to soak in all the wondrous mysteries of the church, but we won't have any faith to do any works to help the church. We're talking about giving. And by the way, when the Lord talks about a cheerful giver of your time, don't show up for those church work projects like this. I can't believe this preacher's asking me to come out and clean floors. I got so many better things I could do. I could be at home right now like this. You take your sour puss out of here and go home then. Because I want a bunch of workers in here that care about the work of God, that care about doing things for God, that are excited that picking up trash really is helping God. These things you do, the least of these, my brethren, thou doest unto me. I picked up trash. It's no big deal. You picked up trash in God's house. You helped Jesus Christ. Well, I've got to do great and wondrous things. I got to preach to the nursing home. I got to do all these wonderful things. No, you don't. You do what God asked you to do. It's amazing, though. Most of us don't look for the will of God. We don't care what the will of God is. We don't care at all. We see this little clipboard on the floor right here. We'll walk by saying, well, that's not the will of God for me to pick that up. I'm just going to keep on walking because that's certainly not the will of God there. Yeah, I've seen it twice now. I walked by it twice. Still not the will of God. What's funny is the will of God, God's got a sense of humor. Keep messing with him. He'll walk you by and trip you. And you'll be staring that thing right in the face. Maybe God did want me to pick this thing up. We are so sorry. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Man, don't let your faith be a lonely faith. Because, by the way, do you know, let me tell you something. And this is the God's honest truth. I believe this with all my heart. When your faith doesn't have works, you're a lonely person. You are a lonely person. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when you start serving God, you know other people want to serve right with you. They want to you want to be together. You want to help people serve. You want to see them serving Christ. You know what's funny? We talk about tithe, and tithe is so minimal compared to the rest of the things we could do. Where have you robbed me? You robbed me in tithes and offerings. So you're cursed with a curse. Now, that's what the scripture says. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. but that's what God says. And God is not a liar, and he cannot change. So he cannot change not being a liar. Brother Dave, you're just trying to pry the money out of my pocket. I'm trying to pry your heart out of your pocket.
Amen.
Well, you're just an associate pastor. You should not be scolding me like this. Well, you know what? Start giving. We won't have to scold. Glory to God. I don't like that preaching. Good. Scratch your butt and get glad. That's what Mom always says. I'm going to tell you, she's a holy woman. That's a good woman right there. Our pastor's wife's phenomenal. Come to her, mad, scratch your butt and get glad. I heard her say it lots of times. Hilarious. You can't help but laugh after she says that. Well, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit. Well, don't then. Next time you get up here, don't say it. Hey. Yeah, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, this is it. We're done. We're done with the tithing. I mean, hallelujah. The whole place had a tongue spit right there. Let me explain something to you. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt in my heart, this pastor loves you more than any pastor will ever love you. Don't ever forget that. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this associate pastor loves you more than any associate pastor can love you. I promise you that. But let me explain something to you. There's a Savior who loves you more than anybody ever could. He's trying to help you. He's not trying to hurt you. My wonder sometimes when you talk about this kind of stuff, I wonder if the Lord's going to test you in the next few days. I wonder if the Lord's going to throw something in your path that might take you away from what you just learned. The Lord does that sometimes to see if you're going to have a backbone. To see if you're just going to trust him. Let me help you. Just trust him.
Amen.
Don't trust me. Don't trust preacher. You trust God. I showed you what he says in his scriptures. Don't worry about what Brother Dave said. Well, you worry about what the scripture says. You do that. I promise you, you'll be happier. I promise you'll be more fulfilled. And you won't be robbing God anymore. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Lord, thank you so much. It seems like the class is growing, and I'm so thankful for that. Even through the tithing, even through the economics of giving, Lord, you're still growing the class. Lord, do something special in this church. Do something special for these people. Let them know how real you are. Lord, please, let our hearts be in the right place, that we're of a willing mind to give. We will become cheerful givers. Lord, I believe if we just start giving, Lord, please help us to do that. More ways than just money, too, although I think money is important. But more ways than that, Lord, help us to give of ourselves. Your Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, help us to live for you. Have us to have a great day today. I'm so glad that Brother Lindingen's with us. Lord, be with his family. Help them through their travels. They have another stop tomorrow. Early in the morning, they got to leave, and they've got to go to New York. Lord, help his meeting there. But, Lord, anoint him for today. Anoint him for our people here at Bethel Baptist Church today. Let his lips preach exactly what you'd have him to preach, Lord, and let us all be attentive with our open hearts to hear exactly what you have for us today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.